World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
2,667. So what? This is show 2,667. And you can say what you want. I've been pretty consistent, haven't I? Be here that long, 2,667 show today. Here on, if you could, Spence, I know you can. Pull up, it says Dano there. Dano, pull that up for me here as we get rolling here. My brother Dan sitting there, the one-armed guy sitting there in front of you. That's my oldest brother Joe standing in the back, and my baby brother Bill's behind him. And we have a sister, Jane, and then there's five of us. But 2 years ago today, we were just starting the show, and my sister-in-law Susie called me and said, something's wrong with Dan. I said, what? Something's wrong with Dan. So I jumped in the car and drove over, and Dan maybe was sitting in that very chair, and he'd had a stroke, or he'd fallen before, you know, a couple of days before. He's on that damn Eliquis. He fell and hit his head, and got a brain bleed. And by the time I got there, you know, he was pretty much dead in the chair, sitting there in the chair, and Dan lost his arm on the same day he died. Now, what are the odds of that? Today, May 20th. And I remember talking that day. I remember talking that day about the show. I remember saying, this is May 20th. This is the day my brother Dan lost his arm down in Lancaster. And I was kind of telling that story, what happened. And that's when Susie got a hold of me. So my brother Dan, on the day he lost his arm, May 20th, I think it would be 1950. Yeah, May 20th, 1950. He was 6 months old, sitting on my mom's lap in the car, got blindsided by a drunk driver. Dan went out the window. Back then they had those old thing called wings. You remember the wing? You guys in those old cars had a wing? And they theorized it. That little seven-month-old baby went out the window, sitting on mom's lap, went out the window, and his arm went through the wing. Cut his arm off and laid there basically bleeding out there on the sidewalk when they came and got him. And they didn't think he'd live, and they got him to the hospital, and a doctor, they took a blood transfusion and stuck it right up his stub and brought him back to life. So I was talking about that on two years ago today. And Susie calls and says, wow, something wrong with Dan. Told Dan Pat, he passed over. Crossed over 2 years ago today, and just want to acknowledge that. And I was encouraged because Dan was a character, man. He was a character. Stubby, they called him. One arm his whole life. I mean, he was a ball player. It was just amazing what a one-armed guy could do. And everybody knew him as Stubby. And he was a fun-loving, beer-drinking, have-fun kind of guy. And I was encouraged that day to hear that Todd Emmerich, one of Dan's neighbors, I was talking about, I didn't know whether Dan had really received Christ or not. And my buddy, Dan's neighbor, called in and said, Dave, are you kidding me? I was with Dan one day when we were out hunting, and he dropped on his knees right in front of an old oak tree and gave his heart to the Lord. So we'll see Dano again. And let me tap this one off as well. Dan's widow, Susie, my sister-in-law, has been battling that C word here over the last 6 or 7 months. Sue listens almost every day in here. And just 2 days ago, Susie got a clean bill of health over that C monster. It's gone. It's gone. So miss you, Dan. I got to meet Mickey Mantle because of my brother, Dan. And in 1961, it was when Roger Maris hit 61 home runs in 61. My mom sent a copy of a news clipping on my brother, Dan. It was in a local paper about this little guy who was playing baseball with one arm. She mailed it to Mickey Mantle, and Mickey Mantle came to Cleveland to play the Indians, and he sent a letter, said, "You guys come on down," and he gave us permission to go down into the dugout and meet Mickey Mantle before the ball game. Anyway, move on. Dan, 2 years ago today, Susie, his wife, healed from cancer yesterday. Praise the Lord, man. A lot going on. The world's crazy, isn't it? The world's crazy. A lot going on, man. A lot going on. I want to dig into some stuff here. By the way, Spencer, I had a lot of people who asked for the PowerPoint that we read yesterday, the prayer that we did yesterday, which was put together by Mr. Numbers, Craig Mickle. And several of you have sent it to me. And I didn't really know how to forward it. I was doing the best I could. And still will if you don't get it. But Spencer, you're putting it in the chat. Is that where they can get it, Spence? Yes. So is it in the chat? A few folks, if you click on the chat, the link to it should be there. And if you still don't get it, send me an email and I will attach it for you there. Cool. Oh, thank you, Mel. It's also at the Liberty Action Network. Pull that up real quick, Spence, if you could. Liberty Action Network. The link to the Craig, again, Craig Mickle is a guide. There it is. It's the Liberty Action Network. And remember when Craig wrote this, he wrote this for Ohio, for Maryland. That's why it says Maryland. And everywhere you read it, you know, put your state in there. That's what we do. And it's all part of this rock in the USA, isn't it? Every place we put our foot, God's given unto us as an inheritance. I'm going to be strong and very courageous. Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. Lord, thy God's with you wherever you go. So you now all have access to that as well. I got some great stuff I'm going to dig into. For the good of the group, anybody real quickly before we – Mel's got her hand up. Go ahead, Mel.
Yes, Spencer, if you can go out to the Liberty Action Network website, I want to show people where it's located in case you aren't able to save the link or if that's not convenient. So if you go to the Liberty Action Network website, and then go to the resources tab at the top bar. There you go. And just click on that. There you go. Scroll down to the second one and then go down a little bit. And then you set click and print. And then that's it right there. Okay. There so it I is, called man. It America 250. So that's where it's located under the resources tab at thelibertyactionnetwork.com. Thanks.
Thanks, Mel. I know where I'm going today, so stay with me. Okay, we're not going to talk politics, but I want to make a point to you real quickly. That if you bear with me, oh yeah, you can put that back up there. I sat in for Rob Pugh last night, and had Mark Harrington on, and folks, that's a good hour, man. That's a good hour, and it'd be worth your time to watch it on Mark and the use of graphic abortion pictures, Carl. He's sitting there. Carl goes to the clinics regularly. He's been doing it for a long, long time. And for the life of me, I can't understand why the church won't engage in abortion, the abortion battle. Whole creation groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. 1973, they legalized the murder of unborn children. 1973. It's a long time ago, isn't it, Carl? How many years is that? Ray, you're smarter than me. How many years is that? 1973. That would be 53 years ago. 53. We have been murdering babies for 53 years. And think of the technology, friends. It's changed since 1973. About surgeries in the womb, all the stuff that we know about life and creation of life. And based on 1973 science, we still allow them to say that it's not a human being. Huh? Come on, man. And again, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So put that in the chat if you could for me, Spence. People, it's just Mark's a great guy and a real warrior. And I think you'll be encouraged by watching it. Dave and Sherry, come on in quickly.
Yeah, real quick, one comment about Dan. Think of it this way. Dan didn't pass on May 20th. Dan got his arm back on
How about that? He got two arms playing baseball and basketball with two arms for the first time in his life, right? Yeah, amen, amen. Dan was Dan, man. Dan was Dan. Now, folks, let me throw something up here. I want to cover this, but I'm not gonna camp on this. Okay, Thomas Massie got defeated last night. Thomas Massie. Now it's horrible because Thomas Massie is a principled man. I can't say enough good things about Thomas Massie, but I also want to say this: he wasn't a team player. Now, hang on. Politics is about compromise, folks. It's about compromise, and it's not a character flaw. Okay, he wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't compromise. And you have to respect a guy like that who wouldn't compromise. But what was happening is Thomas Massie's failure to compromise had him opposing. He was playing on the Democrat team. He wasn't on the Democrat team, but it was more opposition to the Trump agenda, whatever the heck that is, whatever that Trump agenda is, and whether you disagree with it and whatever. Thomas Massie was not a MAGA yes vote. God bless him. God bless him for being a man of principle. But when he didn't vote with the team, he was voting on the other team. You see that? And I think what Trump did to him was horrible, and the way he treated him, and all of that. But folks, politics is the art of compromise, is it not? Is it not? Yeah, man, it's a slippery slope, man. It's a slippery slope, right? So we have to be careful with it. But the reality of it is, I would say from Donald Trump, I want you to know this. I would have never done to Donald Trump what Thomas Massie did. I would support Thomas Massie to the end. But he fell on his own petard in his unwillingness to compromise. In a world of compromise, he wouldn't. You with me? Please don't send me email and say, you're a Trump lover and you're Thomas Massie. Don't even say. I see it. I figure it out. I get it. We need 100 Thomas Massies in Congress. Men of their word. We need 100 of them. But that ain't the way that game's played anymore, friends. It isn't the way the game's played. And somewhere along the line, Thomas Massie, if he would be a good politician, he would learn to make deals. He would get some of those guys to vote with him on this one, and I'll vote with you on that one. Politics is the art of compromise. Okay, I just wanted to get that out. Wanted to say that. Yada, 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 yada. Okay, hang on. Pull up number three, because I think this is, here's what I'm going to talk about today. It's a blood sport now. It's a blood sport. Hey, great news. Tina Peters is getting freed. Did you guys see that? June 1st. They're going to let Tina Peters out. And we know this now, don't we? Are you looking at me? It was a stolen election. Come on. Hey, Frick. Hey, wake up. It was a stolen election. And Tina Peters has spent time in prison for simply saying, hey, it was a stolen election. I've got the evidence. Yeah, she has principles, Mel. Right? She has principles. And so praise the Lord that she's going to be released. Long past due. And I'm thinking this, I don't know what you guys think out there. I think there's going to be a lot of people when this is all done, people who went to jail who are going to be due some big financial settlements. Would anybody disagree with that? That all this rigging and somebody's going to be getting sued and somebody's going to be getting rich. So praise the Lord that Tina Peters is out. Oh, I got so much I want to talk about today. But let's go quickly to Jeff Klein, then David Arthur. Go, Jeff. Tell us your story, not your life story.
Coach, I sent you that message yesterday about a Cowboy Dave sighting at the courthouse. I realized when what it was. They are ripping, threatening to arrest Sabrina Warner. She had to testify. I was reading this morning. The judge told her, you quit running your mouth talking over me, or I'm going to have you in contempt, and I will arrest you right now. I mean, it's just, but they're delaying that hearing and ripping her. It's just crazy.
It is crazy what's going on. There is no justice. It is an injustice system, right? That's what we're dealing with. David Arthur, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I just wanted to say last night you gave Mark props for setting you on fire. And the whole time all I kept thinking about was you set me on fire the same way. When I came to Ohio, the first day I was in Ohio when I stayed at your house in 2018, where did you take me? To Planned Parenthood. What did you put in my hand? One of the created equal signs. And that was what really, I had never, ever even thought about going to an abortion mill until you took me. And I didn't even want to go when you took me. And I didn't want to hold that sign when you handed it to me. But within 3 to 5 minutes, it was just power. It was powerful. And the conversations and the interactions. So I have to say that you did the same thing for me that Mark did for you. So thank you, Coach.
Thank you, David. I want to do it to more people. I want to do it to more people. By the way, Spence, throw up real quickly the WCNTV link so people, and then put it in the chat. Again, folks, Mark makes the argument for showing the graphic pictures, and he's been at it a long time. And really part of the pro-life movement hates him because they think showing the graphic pictures is mean and makes people look bad, and poor women, the poor women, they got to look at those. They killed their freaking baby. They killed their freaking baby. Come on. As the victim, look at what you did. And as long as we make abortion, Carl, safe, legal, and out of sight, out of mind, we're going to get what we got. And let me tell you something. The judgment of God is on America because we will not protect the preborn child. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, the Bible says. Before I formed you in the womb. So that little baby inside the womb, he's just in a package. He's just a UPS waiting to be delivered. He's already alive. He just ain't fully grown. And somewhere along the line, some wicked, wicked person decided it's okay to kill him. My body, my choice. It ain't her body. And the Supreme Court overturns the decision, and the state still won't do a damn thing about it. Still, you can come to Ohio and still murder, keep on murdering. Even though the Supreme Court already ruled, they said, well, Coach, it's a state's rights issue. And it is. It's a state's rights issue. But hey, getting murdered ain't a state's rights issue. That's a federal issue, folks. But you know what? Abortion doesn't, the church don't care. Church doesn't care. When's the last sermon you heard? Oh, maybe on Sanctity of Life Sunday. Maybe they'll talk about it. Hey, Ray, you making a lot of friends up there in Wisconsin holding those signs out there? The pastor's coming and patting you on the back. Say, boy, Ray, thanks, Ray. Wow, thanks for waking up. How's it going up there, Ray?
Yeah, they don't appreciate seeing those signs. You get some pretty negative reactions, I'll tell you.
Ray, it's reproductive health, isn't it?
It is.
Hey, folks, how can reproductive health, how does that give you a dead baby? Somebody tell me how that's reproductive health. See, the left, the devil is good with all these made-up words. Social justice. What the hell is that? Abortion. Transgender. What? And so they use these words to confuse us. And the next thing you know, hey, David Arthur, you looking at me? Next thing you know, we're using their language.
That's right. Huh? Words matter.
Well, we're using their language. And then they call you a bigot and a homophobe and whatever if you don't use their language. So they created a language. We're forced to use their language. And if you don't, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're anti-Jew, anti. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us, help us. Pull up number 11. I just got to show you this picture. I got so many good stuff. I'll get to it, Kevin. Hang on. Pull up number 11. Look at this, folks. Play this real quickly. Data centers. Now, hang on. Mark Trump, whoever out there, I don't know what's going on with data centers. I don't know what's going on. Can somebody tell me why we need to build all of these great big data centers? That's another made up word. What the hell is a data center? What is a data center? A center of data? What? What is a data center? It's a made up term. And what this is, this is only about a minute and 10 seconds. I want you to look, two things I want you to look at. The number of these data centers that are sprouting, most of them, hey, near water sources. And then I want you to look, wow, where they are in Ohio. Great Lakes at the top, Ohio River at the bottom. It's about a minute and 20 seconds. Go ahead and play it.
We're looking at a map of the data centers in the United States. The red means the operating. The green means they are planned. So you can see that there's a lot more greens than there are reds.
Greens. Where are the Great Lakes? Spencer, can you point to Great Lakes? Wow. Hey, Spencer, I don't even know if you know it. Ohio's under that. It's all covered with green and red. Why? Because they need the fresh water. They need the fresh water. Go ahead.
We're looking at a map of the data centers.
Okay, folks, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. Something's got to give. Kevin Van Story, and then I'm going to get into what I really want to get into today. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to say there's nothing new under the sun. They started killing babies back when they left Egypt.
But it wasn't always legal.
It wasn't always legal, but it was back then. And then, of course, it wasn't legal in God's term. It's always been illegal in God's mind. But you know what? It's just, as I said, there's nothing new under the sun. And the data center, this big one they're putting out here on the south side of Muskogee, is not a data center. It's a tracking center. And it's going to be tracking all those that took the vaccine because they got that nanographene in them. And I'm going to be that conspiracy theorist. I know it. And they have to have these big tracking centers so that they can keep track of what you're doing. They're going to get water out of the Arkansas River. The one they're talking about up here in Joplin, they're going to get water out of Center Creek or Shoal Creek and Spring River. So anyway, yeah, nothing new under the sun.
People don't get it. People don't get it. Okay, hang on real quick. Greg Gutfield, because this, put it maybe, I don't know if you can speed it up to one. Folks, this is exactly, look, are you looking at me? They're going to call you names. It's the only weapon they have. Racist, bigot, Zionist, anti-Semite. Whenever you cross, if you criticize or make the other side argument, it is always you are hateful. That's the weapon. That's the weapon. And can I tell you something? The church doesn't want to be called hateful. Church is love. Huh? How about this one? God hates all workers of iniquity. Seems to me like maybe hate was his idea. Esau, Jacob I've loved, and Esau I have hated. And what do they want? What do they want to make sure you do, boys and girls? You never hate nothing. Don't ever hate anything. I'm okay. You're okay. Jesus loves everybody. And if you come out and you speak against what I'm doing, you are a hater. You are a hater. David Arthur is a double hater. Because he was one and now he isn't one anymore. And he's really a hater now. And folks, praise God. I hate. I hate. Truth sounds like, where's my shirt? Truth sounds like hate. Truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. We're supposed to hate some things. So real quickly, Greg Gutfield, this is important to understand. Look, if you're going to engage in this battle, you better understand this. They're going to be calling you names. They're going to be calling you names. And I learned this very, very young, second grade, I think. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can never harm you. And they use words to harm us, and we retreat. And the pastor stands in the pulpit, and he certainly doesn't want to be spoken evil of. He doesn't want to be hated by the devil and the devil's minions, because they've taught us that Jesus just wants to get them all saved. When the Bible says you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father, you will do, out of the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. So this guy here, Greg Gutfeld, say what you want. Backdooring racism, backdooring, everything you do is racist. Everything you do. Play it real quickly.
Those leaders are living in the past, which is what the race card literally is. You're living in the past to imprint it on the future. The things that they say are happening aren't happening. It used to work. We used to be paralyzed by the fear of the scarlet letter R for racism, but the race card doesn't work anymore on half the population who sees through it. The other half are just doing it out of habit. But, you know, we disarmed the left because we lost the fear. And so now it's just a gun shooting blanks. You may appeal to the voter who agrees on race, but you already had them. And absent of other tools beyond the race card, you are kind of like a fat, out of shape fighter with no way to win but to call out the refs or just cancel the whole game. The underlying emotion in all of this is that the Dems have exploited fear. And it's not just here. If you think about, like, how profoundly awful was trans rights for kids to give perverse men the agency over our children's sexuality? How did that happen? It was like we feared the swarm of activists calling us transphobic. We feared being called bigots if we came out against illegal immigration. We feared punishing criminals because we thought we were going to be called racist. Once you lose the fear, you can finally get back to the normal way things go. And the Democratic Party, in my opinion, still has to do that. They haven't done it. They're still on the same path to destruction they've always been on, which is identity politics. It's taken this country down a terrible path. You know, Harold brought up, like, you know, 20 years ago, race relations were better. There's all the polls show that. They were better.
I don't think so.
Oh, yes, they were. Well, I think
the natural progression as we get better. We're going to speed bumps.
All right, I'm just using the polling. I'm pulling a Jessica here. Mm-hmm. The polling on race relations were far more optimistic before Barack Obama was elected, and then it just got worse and worse. And I'm not saying it's on him, but I'm trying to figure out what happened since then.
Okay, we get it. Let's move on. Hey, Spencer, pull up for me real quickly. I want to show you something. Here's where we're going today. Hey, I don't care what names they call me. I don't care what name. I couldn't care less what names they call me. I couldn't care less. Can I say that enough? I couldn't care less. Spencer, pull up for me. Where is it? Ephesians 6. It says Ephesians 6, number 7. Thank you. And I want you to go down because I want to talk about this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right. It's really good. It's really good. Ephesians 6, talking about not provoking your children, wrestle not against flesh and blood, yada, 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 yada. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves down at verse 20, I think it is. Spence, can you go down there? Let's start at verse 19. Let's go up a little bit more. There's a period. Okay. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Punctuation matters. Period is an end of a thought. Semicolon means a pause in a thought. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, semicolon, same thought. And for me, the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. May open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, comma, still same thought, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. What? Ambassador in bonds? That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Because why? I'm an ambassador in bonds. Well, that's you. Hey, David, You're an ambassador. Kevin, Dan Stoy, you're an ambassador. Ray, you're an ambassador. Gene Schroeder, you're an ambassador. Steve Dex, an ambassador. Jeff Klein's an ambassador. Christy Henderson's an ambassador. You're an ambassador. So, Coach, what's an ambassador? Yeah. Have they been talking about that in your church? Been talking to you a little bit, but what an ambassador is? Well, why don't we go to first, let's go to number five first. Number five. You're an ambassador. That's a high honor. What's an ambassador? An ambassador is an official envoy. Now, that don't mean anything to you because they would never teach you that in school anymore, right? Especially a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government. Folks, you represent a foreign kingdom. The kingdom of God. You and I represent a king and a kingdom. And Paul said we are ambassadors representing a righteous, holy kingdom to a lost world. And our job is what? To do the work of our king. It's the highest rank accredited to a foreign government. And appointed, hey, Arthur, you've been appointed, dude, for a special and often temporary diplomatic assignment as a resident and representative abroad. You're an ambassador. I'm an ambassador. Now, hang on. God daggone Paul. I always hate Paul because he says in 20, go back to Ephesians if you could, Spence. Huh? Doesn't he say that we're an ambassador in chains? Where is that? In bonds. For I am an ambassador in bonds. I am a prisoner of my king.
Boom.
True. This is so, so deep. Because somebody help me out. And you go to church. You're in there for an hour and a half, a lot of praise and worship, all that stuff. Is God serving you? Are you serving him? When you stand there and you raise your hand, you sing the song, say, oh, I feel so good. Are you serving God? So I'm offering worship and prayer. Really? Really? Well, you're an ambassador in bonds. And after you worship him, you best get out and do your job, Mr. Ambassador. Hang on, not done. 16 verses, number four. 16 Bible verses about evangelism. And what is evangelism? You're a bondservant. You've been hired. The Lord, look, you don't work your way into heaven, but the Lord's given you a job. And the job that you have pays great. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's your pay. And the great thing about it is, you get to go share it with other people. Right? So what were some, what? But in your heart, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer. To who? Your prayer group? Your pastor? No, to everyone who asked you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. They hate David Arthur because he's no longer bound by those chains of whatever it was he's bound by. And now he's loose and he's an ambassador and they want to kill him.
Boom.
Yes or no? Go to the next one. An ambassador. What's an ambassador? I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to put it in the chat. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Now, hang on. Ray. Listen, class. Hey, Ray, what's an ambassador? I want to make sure we're getting it, class. What's an ambassador?
He's a representative of Jesus Christ in this case. A representative, a messenger.
In a foreign country.
In a foreign country, yeah.
Right? Mm. He's an ambassador. We're there for his ambassadors. As though we were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Hey, folks, you ain't being an ambassador sitting in the pew. Sorry. He's serving you. Your ways in your hands. Oh, I feel so good. No, 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 no. Sorry. Timothy says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. What? I thought there are no works. You want to present yourself to God as one he's proud of. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly divides the word of truth. God's word's so powerful, isn't it? Go to the next one. Timothy, what's Timothy say? But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, and do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Hey, folks, if your church just has one minister and he's standing in the pulpit, you're totally missing it. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which will enable you to be an ambassador. And leaving the next day, we reached Caesarea and stayed at the house of Philip, the evangelist, one of the seven. It's all about evangelism. It's all about evangelism. And let me again. Does your church do evangelism? Mark Harrington will remember this if he's out there, and probably Jim Harrison will remember it. High Street Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. The pastor, they called him, his name is Charles Maness, I think was his name. And they called him Heinous Maness. Heinous Maness. Why? Because it required his people to do evangelism. He took them to the streets, they hand out tracts, they stood on the sidewalks, and they evangelized. Heinous Maness. Doing the work of an evangelist. Say, well, Coach David, Coach, my faith's more private. I have a more private faith. Tell that to the Lord. Huh? When you stand before the Lord, going to be evidence? Is it going to be evidence of your Christianity? Is there any? You say, Coach, now you're getting into works. No, then you're dumber than hell if you think that. If I see my buddy Carl hungry and I feed him, is that works? Is that works? Or is that just being a Christian? And somewhere along the line, they've convinced you, don't do works. You don't have to do anything. Don't do work. You can't work yourself into the kingdom. Well, dude, it ain't about you. He wants you to do works so you can drag that other guy into the kingdom. That's what works are about. By the way, is it Revelation 21? Is it Revelation 20? I'm sorry. I got to get this out of it. Revelation 21? Great white throne judgment. Great white throne judgment. Is that Revelation 21? Is that where it is, Carl? I think Revelation 21. Yeah, I saw a new heaven open. Scroll on down. New Jerusalem, heard the great voice of heaven. Go hold, keep tabernacle. Go on down. God shall wipe away. Go on down and then go on down. And he overcometh all things. I'll be his God and he'll be my son. Keep going. Because why? Here at some point, we're going to throw our crowns at his feet. Time out a minute. There it is. And he carried in my spirit, great high mountain, showed me the great city, holy, descending out of heaven from God. By the way, there's the kingdom of God. The holy, that's the bride of Christ. Oh, yeah. So anyway, what do we do? What do they do when they do? What do they do with their crowns? What do they do with their crowns? Ray, what do they do with their crowns?
Cast them at his feet.
Ray, what are in the crowns? What are in the crowns, Ray?
I believe part of it is our works that we've done for him in his name.
Jewels.
And the church tells us, don't do works. Don't do works. And you're going to go up there and you're going to be saved. What kind of crown are you throwing down? Got a little ruby in there. Is that what it is? Huh? Said, so, well, I wasn't equipped to do it. My pastor was doing all that. And the four and the 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne. Lot to swallow here so far today, right? Hang on, David. I'll get you in there. I see your hands up there. Okay, go to number six real quick. What's the role of an ambassador? Your church teaching you to be an ambassador? Huh? Oh, I did that one, didn't I? I'm sorry. Role of an ambassador. Okay, good. Thank you. There it is. Understanding a Bible ambassador. What's your role? Click on the read all. What's your mission? Your role, just an earthly ambassador, represents a nation. A Christian ambassador for Christ represents the kingdom of God. By the way, folks, the kingdom of God isn't heaven. Kingdom of God's within you. It's the rulership of, it's kingship of Christ inside you. That's the kingdom. It's the role. And your mission is to make God's appeal, to invite people to reconcile to God. What's the authority? The calling comes from God, who's approved believers to be entrusted with the gospel. Well, the responsibilities represent God's position, proclaim the gospel, be a living sermon, and stand firm in the truth. That's what ambassadors do. That's what ambassadors do. Practical application in daily life, treat others with kindness, integrity, compassion, showing Christ's love visibly. Scroll down, please. In ministry, share the gospel boldly, praying for the opportunities to speak. Hey, you don't have to be in ministry to do that. You're in ministry. Relationship, be a faithful envoy. He brings healing and reconciliation, not division. More and more and more. Hey, boys and girls, you're an ambassador. Anybody training you what ambassadors do? Carl gave me a virtuous woman is a crown. Wow. To her husband. I got a virtuous woman. I got a crown. David Arthur, come on. I'll shut up for a while. Got 18 minutes.
The ludicrous language for ambassador is that we're a messenger. And that's what the 1828 dictionary says. But it's so important, Coach, that followers of the Christ actually understand that they are bond servants.
Because
I have said it so many times to people that we are either slaves of sin or we're bond servants. It's the same thing. I'm not. I've been set free. Well, if you've been set free, because the Son makes you free, He doesn't set you free. So if you've just been set free, then that kind of says that's a temporary thing, or that you can be, you know, you can stumble and fall, or you're just out there on your own doing your own thing. But when you've been made free by the Christ, that's a whole different thing. But being a bondservant, I don't think a lot of people understand that when people were slaves in biblical times and they were set free, right? They were made free. Their master said, go. You don't have to be my slave anymore. They wanted to stay. They wanted to stay under their master. And so what they did was they would put like a wooden dowel through their ear on the door jamb. And they would do that because they would want to. They chose to stay and worship and work for their master and do for their master, right? Live for their master by choice.
By choice.
And that's the important thing, is by choice. Because we can choose to not be an ambassador, or choose to not want to be a bondservant, but then we're choosing to not want to serve the master. It's simple.
Hey, Spencer, Google bond servant. Bond servant. Bond servant is a person bound to service without wages. Dude. Historically, the term refers to an indentured servant. I'm an indentured servant, folks. Huh? I'm Christ's. Or a slave who surrenders personal independence. Whatever it is you would have me to do, Lord. Most commonly, the term is used in biblical context to describe someone who voluntarily chooses lifelong, devoted servitude out of love and loyalty. Hey, that doesn't mean you need a title. Pastor David, Apostle Philip, Evangelist Timothy. Dudes, we're all supposed to be those. We're supposed to be every one of those. Sometimes I'm an ambassador. Sometimes I'm an apostle. Sometimes I'm a teacher. Sometimes I'm a pastor. You get it? It's different positions on the team. If you got a preacher, you don't need to be the preacher. You need to be the evangelist. Somebody's got to fill that position. Good question for you. What's your position at your church? Oh, I get it. There ain't no positions at your church. You are the church. In some place you go. And so if I were to take David Arthur and Ray LeBlanc and Gene Schroeder and Steve Deck and Jeff Klein, and we all went out, we did some street preaching, we'd all do different roles. And by the way, we could switch roles. Because it's a position you play, not an office you hold. Ray LeBlanc, come on. Am I doing okay? I need constant reinforcement.
Amen. Amen. Okay, this is good, Dave.
Thanks.
A bond servant. We're bond servants to Jesus Christ as ambassadors, and great is our reward, right? In this, that's our crown that we're going to give him.
Yeah, the we're not doing it for a reward. We're going to get one, but that's not.
Amen.
What we're doing it
for. That's not the cause or the purpose, right? Well, the picture in the background here of me wearing your one of your shirts there too sounds like, hey, that's in front of the Planned Parenthood building right there. We are the ambassadors for Christ for the unborn, speaking up truth to this evil entity that's before us. So that's part of being the ambassador, is getting out there and just doing that particular work. Great is a reward, he says afterwards. But we don't do it for the rewards. We do it because of our love for Christ, our love for our neighbors. And you do it unto one of these little ones, you do it unto me. Amen.
So, Ray, so folks, follow the pattern here, okay? I bumped into Mark Harrington. We were both doing a radio show at WRFD in Columbus. This is 20 years ago. And we got to become friends. And Mark was even then doing Created Equal, holding the signs. And he invited me to come. And I went to Ohio State University, holding an abortion sign for the first time. And something happened to me, man. So, oh my God, this is it. This is earnestly contending for the faith. I love this. And I started hanging out with Mark. And Mark trained me. And you know what I did? About 10 years later, some guy pulls up in my Tom Gill's house named Ray LeBlanc. He wants to come and do something. He wants to come and do something. And so I took Ray LeBlanc. We went and did something. And Ray LeBlanc said, damn, sorry, maybe he didn't say that. I'm going to do more of this. So Ray LeBlanc said, I'm going to start doing more of this. And then what did he do? He got married and moved to Wisconsin and got married. And he says, damn, I'm going to do more of this. And so he starts a church, and he's starting the church. And now what's going on? He's got other people doing more of this. Isn't that kind of the way it works, Ray?
Can't get enough.
At the end of that trail is Mark Harrington.
Yeah, Mark. Well, actually, that's probably one of his signs I'm holding. You can't see it, but it's a graphic sign showing the Holocaust of the unborn.
And Ray, hey Ray, all the other churches in Wisconsin love you, don't they, Ray?
Yeah, they love me to death.
And Ray's an ambassador. Hey Ray. You went from a foreign country, brother. Where did you come from, Ray?
Canada.
What?
I was born in Canada.
He's a Canadian. So he's a missionary to a foreign country. This is unbelievable. Because why? He stopped down and said, Ray, wait, what made you come? Do you remember that? What made you come? You just showed up.
Yeah, well, I saw you on the Hagman Report. And that was very influential, what you had to say. You could see the fire in your belly. I said, man, I want what he's got.
Chase the anointing, didn't you? Chase the anointing.
Yeah, huh? For sure.
And that bug jumped all over you.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just like the word says, go into all the world and teach them. Go do it yourself. Don't, hey, get out of the nest and go do it yourself. Go do it yourself.
Well, when you put me in a fire there, and I thought I was going to get burnt, but it was a Holy Ghost fire, and that's right. It just warmed my soul.
Burns all the dross off of you, doesn't it? Doesn't it, right? And by the way, they think you're crazy, don't they? Do you know why they think you're crazy, Ray? Because broad is the way.
Crazy and narrow is the gate. Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to walk through that gate, aren't you, Ray? You're trying to be a humble servant of you're trying to be an ambassador to the world. Narrow gate. It's narrow. Many are called. Ray, help me out here. Many are called.
Few are chosen.
Few are chosen. Huh? So this whole thing about Christ, liberty in Christ, and yeah. You give away all your rights and you become a bond servant for no pay. Man, oh man. Kind of stunning, isn't it? Really kind of stunning.
Coach, would you just tell them about the five offices on your hand?
Pull up fivefold ministries. Anybody know where that was? He gave some apostles. Apostle's the thumb. Apostle is the guy who kind of connects all of them. Ever notice that? Fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles, some prophets. Hey, the prophet is the finger pointer. He gave some prophets. I'm sorry, some apostles, some prophets, four evangelists, the middle finger, sorry. The guy who stands up bigger above all of them in the midst of the crowd, that's the evangelist. By the way, look at this. And I'm reading on my screen, and he gave some apostles thumb, some prophets finger pointer, some evangelists middle finger, Christian middle finger, and some, look, pastors and teachers. It's connected. Do you see that? Some pastors and teachers. Some pastors and teachers. We call it the fivefold ministry, but it's really not. No. And sometimes you operate in the gift of the pastor. And sometimes you operate in the gift of the teacher. Friends, these are positions on the team, not offices you are voted into. And I remember the day, I'm not saying this to besmirch anybody, I'm in the church and the pastor's giving a sermon. No chit-chi, Sherlock, I'm telling you the truth. And I stood up in the middle of the sermon and I asked the pastor a question. So, hey, pastor, what? I don't remember what the question was, but it was a good one. It was a good question. Be salt of the earth, light of. Hey, pastor, what are we supposed to do about this? I can't remember what the scripture was. And he kind of brushed it off and moved on because, of course, he'd prepared a sermon, right? He'd prepared a sermon. He didn't want anybody to get away from that sermon that he'd spent all that time copying off the internet somewhere. Come on, I'm just telling you the truth. And then after the service, he came up to me and says, hey, meet me in the office. And he spanked me. Not really. I've had a spanking before. He spanked me. How dare I interrupt his sermon? Somebody give me a thumbs up, a boom. That's a control freak. You ever heard of one? That's a control freak. You know what I would have done? And I don't know if you can know if it kind of operates here because I have the gift of a teacher, pastor, teacher. I have that gift, right? Sometimes I can be on a subject and somebody will bring something up and I'll say, hey, dude, let's go there a second. So, because if I stood up in the middle of the sermon and I ask a question, do you think I'm the only person in the congregation wondering that question? And instead of the pastor realizing that I didn't understand it totally, and we can't move on until he understands this. He got mad because he couldn't get his 5 points in. We're going to run out of time, couldn't get his 5 points in. And, by the way, he never took me to the streets, not one time. Not one time. All right, 5 minutes. I'm about done here in 5 minutes. Jump in here, say what you want to. Hey, look, I just got to say this because it's not going to go away, okay? It's not going away. I don't care which side of the argument you're on. I don't care. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't care. The crucible in American Christianity today is America's treatment in obedience to Israel. I don't care which side. I don't care which side of it you're on, folks. That dude is coming to a head. That's coming to a head. You understand that? And that's the battle that we're fighting. And there are many in the conservative movement. Yes, Bob, they spent, the AIPAC, the Jews, spent $30 to $40 million to defeat Thomas Massie. Look, I don't care which side of it you're on. That's the crucible. That's the crucible. And it's modern evangelical Christianity that is driving the Israel First movement. You can make the argument all you want. I'm not here even to debate it. But that is the battle. That's the point of the spear. That's the point of the spear. It is. And isn't it funny? And it's the point of the spear in a country where we claim there's separation between the church and state. And yet we want to spend all of our money to protect this, dare I say it, religious organization called the Jews. You say, well, there are people. Yeah, look, I'm not taking a position. I'm trying to just present the argument to you. This is the battle. This is the battle. And it's going to be, it is the dividing issue in America today, in American Christianity today. It is. That is the issue. You're not even allowed to talk about it. In fact, if I talk about it, even though maybe, I don't know where you guys are theologically, I don't know, doesn't really matter to me. There'd be division right here in this Coach Dave Live over that issue. We would get mad at one another. Ray, give me a thumbs up so I know I got one friend out there, right? It is the issue. It is the issue. Why would Israel spend that kind of money to save Thomas Massie? Why would they do it? Why would they do it? Man, oh man, oh man. Okay, so here we go. Let me wrap it up. We're ambassadors. If you're going to a church and they're not teaching you to go into all the world, wait a minute. How to do it. Coach Norm, I don't know if Coach Norm's out there or any other guys out there played football. Chalk talks. What was a chalk talk? Well, a chalk talk was where you took the guys into a classroom and you drew up the plays and you showed them who to block. And then you went out on the practice field and you ran the play that they just drew on the board. When you go to church on Sunday, it's a chalk talk, teaching you what play to run, and then you go run it, and then you come back the next week, and you analyze the play that you ran, it's called game film, and then they teach you to run another play. But you should never come back to church on Sunday if you didn't run a play during the week. And unfortunately, modern evangelical fishism, we don't run no place because it's all about me and blessing me and money, health, wealth. See you tomorrow.